This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And once again, we're here with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin answering your questions. You can send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. And judging from the volume of questions we're getting through to you. So keep the questions coming. They're always fascinating. We love to field your inquiries. They provide for lively discussion. And just a reminder, Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin is available for consultation. Should you desire to work with her individually, patients who physically come to the Hoffman Center see both yours truly and Layla Mudin as part of a general medical workup. But say you're in some far-flung place, or perhaps you have a doctor and you want to keep your doctor, but you just want to add a nutritional component to your care plan, you can have an individual consultation with Layla via phone, and she will try to support you in every way that she can, using the kind of expertise that we harness here on this podcast. So what was the next question? The next question is about something called Prevagen,
Yes, correct? We've got a question from Joe. Do you recommend Prevagen, or does Dr. Hoffman, who I trust, have anything for brain sharpness and short-term memory? Appreciate your honest professional expert advice. Love your show. Very, very fair and well-balanced. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I have been, I'm aware of Prevagen. Yeah. Prevagen is a product that is used to support memory, and it contains a substance taken from jellyfish called aquaforin. Aquaforin is a luminescent substance.
Oh,
it helps to make, like jellyfish light
up.
They glow, you see them in the aquariums, and it's kind of nice. So there's a little bit of research.
Until they sting you, but yeah.
Right. There's a little bit of research on that in terms of its potential effects on the nervous system. And I have been, I'll just give you a little background. I have sponsors, and I've been approached by Prevagen in the past to have them be a sponsor. And that's good because they pay. That helps to support these broadcasts. So, we vet our sponsors very carefully, and I want to turn people on to things that I believe in and I find plausible. And I have to say that I turned down the Prevagen people because I said, look, I think you're doing a good job, because they actually have done a little bit of research.
Yeah.
They've sponsored some research. But I looked at the studies, and I felt the studies were very small and not really conclusive. And they even have some animal studies, which makes me think, animals don't have a placebo effect. You give a human something for memory, and they'll say they feel better. But they've done some animal studies. But I just didn't see the science was that robust. I didn't really see that it makes that much sense in terms of how that could possibly work. And there are other things which we'll get to. So, and I've been tracking this product. By the way, they're doing a lot of advertising. They're doing a lot of advertising on TV now.
Wow.
They used to do advertising on radio, and now they're doing a lot of advertising on TV, which is kind of paradoxical because they are in the crosshairs of the FDA. The FDA, in April 2012, announced an investigation of Prevagen. A supplement called Prevagen, I'm reading here from a website called myadvocates.com, which is a legal website, and I'm not, basically what it is, they're trying to drum up a class action suit.
Oh.
They want users of Prevagen to file for damages because of unsubstantiated claims, and then each user will get $12.95 back as part of a class action settlement, but the lawyers will make millions.
Oh.
That's, the settlements are multi-million dollar settlements, but then if you have 100,000 plaintiffs, they all get $19.95 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So But anyway, so this legal website, I think they're reporting factually, has said a supplement called Prevagen, which has helped propel its manufacturer, Quincy Bioscience, into the ranks of fastest growing companies in the U.S. And that's true, actually. There is, that company has shown a lot of growth and a lot of sales, multi-million dollars of sales. Shows evidence of serious side effects and should be marketed and regulated as a drug, says the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Anyone taking Prevagen should check with their doctor in light of the FDA's disclosures about the so-called brain vitamin. Now, this was April 2012, so this is a slow-moving train wreck because, in spite of this, Prevagen is still on the market. It's being advertised very aggressively, and they're in the process of fending off the FDA's attack on them. They quote, adverse events like seizures, strokes, and worsening symptoms of multiple sclerosis that it had been reported to your firm as being associated with the use of Prevagen products. I don't believe that it has negative effects. It says, in fact, the company received more than 1,000 incidents and product complaints about Prevagen between May 2008 and December 1st, 2011, and they only investigated reported two events. The FDA is waiting for the company's response. It could seek legal action to halt the manufacture and marketing of Prevagen, which obviously they didn't. They also complain that, you know, look, here's the problem. Anything that works automatically becomes a drug. As long as you're using like a vitamin that's like, you know, just wishy-washy, not doing anything, the FDA is okay with it. But when you tell people that it's going to help their dementia or Alzheimer's, it becomes a drug. So that's, they also have a problem with that. They say that, here's a little bit of sleight of hand. You know, when you take a natural substance, it comes under the rubric of vitamin. But what the FDA is saying is that, yes, aquaphorin is found in certain jellyfish, but the company synthesizes the aquaphorin. And automatically, when you synthesize something, even though it's identical to something in nature, it earns the status of a drug.
Something patentable.
Patentable. The company must perform studies to show it is both effective and safe. Blah, blah, blah. So, you know, and look, obviously they're trying to drum up lawsuit, class action lawsuit. And in fact, in January 2015, a class action lawsuit was filed against Quincy Bioscience, the manufacturer of Prevagen. And the lawsuit charged the product cannot work as advertised because aquaphorin, actually, I'm sorry, it's called apoaquaphorin. Apoaquaphorin is an aquaphorin, but it's some type of aquaphorin. It's completely destroyed by the digestive system and transformed into common amino acids, no different than those derived from other common food products. So this is also an argument, I think, in case of many supplements that are large molecules. They say, how can it be absorbed? That's what the lawsuit alleges. Not necessarily true. The amount of amino acids Prevagen adds to the user's intake are trivial in comparison with normal dietary intake. So they're basically saying it's expensive meat.
Exactly.
You know, it's sort of, expensive it's protein. Meat in a pill that gets digested.
Right.
You know, so
right.
You might as well, you know, if you could have a piece of hamburger, you know, and it would give you the same. They also say the claims that clinical tests demonstrate that Prevagen will improve memory and support healthy brain function, sharper mind, and clearer thinking are false. And here's also what got me a little bit concerned. They say that Quincy Biologics, quote, clinical trials were conducted in-house and did not have independent verification. So they did not get published in major medical journals where they were peer-reviewed and critiqued. They were sort of trials that were commissioned at the behest of the company, which, good for them. You know, God bless that they had at least done some research. However, sometimes research that's done at the behest of a company that may be performed offshore in a country which is a little less reliable in the United States. I think some of these were offshore studies. They're cheaper to do overseas in China or in, you know, Taiwan or something. They are less good quality studies. And so they say here, and this is in the lawsuit. I'm not taking the side of the lawsuit necessarily. But they, the lawsuit says, studies touted in Prevagen's marketing campaign, quote, if they exist at all, are on their face so seriously flawed that they demonstrate nothing regarding Prevagen. So I would say, while, you know, I'm not going to go so far as to say that Prevagen is harmful. I thought when you put something on the market and hundreds of thousands of people are taking it, some people are going to call and complain. They're going to say, you know, my big toe swelled up, you know, or, you know, I got an itchy nose, mm-hmm. or my eyes were bloodshot after I took it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, is it all these, that does not necessarily mean that
was
the cause. However, they can fault the company for not investigating.
Mm.
The company at least should take action to investigate, to keep a file, and that's what it behooves supplement manufacturers to do that, unfortunately,
right.
these days. So you have to take it seriously, you know, and record that. And that's something we have to do, too. You know, people
sure.
call up, we
sure.
have to document it, we have to look into it, you know, and mm-hmm. we have, in a sense, a liability, too.
Yeah.
So we share the liability with the supplement manufacturer. So,
wish the drug manufacturers would do that.
Well, they do.
Statin side effects, does that belong to a pharmaceutical? I don't think
sure,
so.
Sure,
it
and
does.
It's considered acceptable.
Okay.
It's considered acceptable. It's like, okay. you know, that, okay, you know, you're going to feel achy, but
right.
it's supposed to be, you know, you're protecting your heart from something worse.
Right. So it's okay if you have trouble climbing the stairs.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's the philosophy.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, yeah. And so, and in fact, you know, let's switch subject a little bit. There recently was a study called the HOPE study, which showed...
The hoax?
HOPE
study.
Wait a minute.
Oops,
let's not go there. They always have optimistic titles to these studies.
Uh-huh.
So the HOPE study was one of the first studies that demonstrated that you could get a benefit from taking statins,
mm-hmm.
even if you didn't have heart disease. It actually did show that. Okay, I would look at the study more carefully, but... You know, we always argue it only works in people who have heart disease. Well, this study showed it worked in people who just had risk factors for heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
It was somewhat protective. However, what was not reported too widely is that a very high percentage of people in that study had some kind of side effects, particularly muscle aches.
Oh, yeah.
Up to 20%.
They wrecked their CoQ10.
Right. So that study has convinced many doctors, oh, everybody should be on a statin. You know, if you have even
yeah.
any excuse to be on a statin, cholesterol's a little high or whatever, your father had heart disease, let's go on a statin. But they tend to downplay the fact that some people don't feel well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Dr. Hoffman, what do you like for brain sharpness, short-term memory? What do we think of huperzine and in membrane, or what do we think of Bacoba?
Well, huperzine is, you know, from a Chinese herb called, the popular name is clubfoot, and huperzine has some beneficial effects, there's some research on phosphatidylserine, although I haven't seen a lot of good research lately on phosphatidylserine. It's reputed to be helpful, but it has kind of fallen a little bit by the wayside.
Yeah.
Phosphatidylcholine also.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the best research is on DHA.
Oh,
for
yeah.
brain preservation.
Yeah.
There may be something to high-dose CoQ10, or at least mm-hmm. some CoQ10.
Ginkgo for the circulation is good.
Curcumin to prevent mm-hmm. Inflammatory changes in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly pycnogenol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's... certainly ginkgo is a circulatory enhancer. What are some of the others that we see in some of these common supplements?
Bacoba.
Bacopa, which is actually interesting because Bacopa
yeah.
Is something that actually may help attention deficit disorder, even in people who are not suffering from cognitive decline
wow.
and dementia.
More focus.
But I would say, you know, the anti-inflammatories really have a role to play, even,
yeah.
you know, grapeseed and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, certainly diet, low glycemic index diet.
A low inflammation diet.
Yeah, anti-inflammatory, low in omega-6
yeah.
oils, which are pro-inflammatory. That may play more of a role. And then certainly exercise. Physical exercise is one of the most beneficial things
it's
for the brain.
Great for the brain.
It
yeah.
generates something called BDNF.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is?
Brain-derived neurotrophic factor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, BDNF. We want more BDNF. And
you get that with good aerobic exercise.
And, you know, freedom from stress because cortisol erodes the brain, damages the hippocampus.
Yes.
Here's another one that's really important. Just came on, and I you may have seen the study. The study was in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and what they found was they looked at the hippocampus, which is this part of the brain responsible for memory. It's a very
mm-hmm.
small structure, but it does a lot in terms of memory.
Yeah.
And what they found was they looked at people who had low B12, documented low B12, or borderline B12,
mm-hmm.
borderline B12 was defined as anything between 300 and 180. 180 is often the cutoff, 180 to 220. So they say if it's less than 220, you really have B12 deficiency. You need more B12. What they found is the cutoff of 180 or 220, take your pick, is too low. Hmm. That patients who had B12 anywhere between 180 and 300 also had some degree of cognitive decline, and they responded to B12 supplementation, most importantly. So and what they suggest in the article is, let's forget about checking for B12. If you've got cognitive decline, take some extra B12. In particular, if you have homocysteine, or if you have what's called the MTHFR mutation, which means you have more difficulty with methyl donors.
I know we don't like to see levels below 600.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I would deal with it, you know, because what's the big deal? You know, it's like you take a B12, or you know, if you really want to rev things up quickly, take some B12 shots.
There you go. Terrific, Joe. Hope you like that very lengthy answer.
Yeah, and by the way, this is public information.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
I mean, look, the manufacturers of Prevagen obviously have their side of the story.
Sure.
And clearly, the FDA has not won their battle with Prevagen, because if they had their way, they would put them out of business. And they're really going great guns.
Yeah.
But every time I see that commercial, I want to say, I wonder how long they're going to be able to do this with all the pressure, both legal, you know, from the attorneys, the class action attorneys on the one hand, and the government on the other. They're getting a lot of pressure.
We'll see. Stay tuned, everybody.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting story.
All right. We've got an email from Geraldine. Life Extension is promoting a wild green oat extract as an alternative for Deprenil.
Is that why they say
Parkinson's?
You sow your wild oats?
You sow your wild oats.
Right.
I don't know.
Right?
Wild green oat extract. The extract is said to act as an MAO-B inhibitor and prevent dopamine depletion in the brain. With an MAO, don't you have to avoid certain foods to avoid a serious adverse reaction? Geraldine's talking about tyramine-containing foods. So this is a great question.
So the answer is probably not, because I don't think it's such a powerful selective MAO inhibitor that it's going to create a lot of problems.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
What's an MAO I'm thinking of? Nardil.
These are medications that are infrequently used.
Yeah.
Or there is one that's used for Parkinson's disease, which is, oh my goodness, why am I perseverating on that? We don't use it that often, but sometimes they're used for early Parkinson's disease. Elderpril, it's called, or Deprenil.
Deprenil
is an
MAO. Deprenil, yeah.
It's kind of a weak MAO inhibitor, so it's not really going to cause major dietary problems. But let's explain what happens. What happens when you take Nardil and you have certain foods? This is something you study in nutrition, right?
First of all, with any MAO inhibitor, you are given a list of tyramine-containing foods to avoid. Some of them are things like coffees, teas, chocolates, anything fermented, cheeses,
anchovies,
all dairy.
Aged meats.
Exactly. Fermented meats, salamis, and all of that kind of thing.
No bacon?
And so, well, yeah, bacon maybe.
Yeah.
Bacon maybe. Yeah.
An aged meat.
Aged meat, fermented meat, yeasted foods. All the cheeses. Alcohol, wines, beers, coffees, chocolates, believe it or not.
They had this thing called Marmite. The Brits like Marmite. They put Marmite into hot water. That's pure yeast extract.
Oh, okay. That's flavored.
Yeah, it's
umami.
It's popular in Israel.
Umami.
Marmite, Marmite.
So I believe the tyramine may inhibit the enzyme.
No, I think the drug inhibits the enzyme. Yeah, so
the tyramine interferes with that mechanism.
So what happens? What can you get? You can get like a hypertensive crisis. You get actually vasoconstriction. You can have a hypertensive crisis. You can get really terrible headaches as a result. So you get overproduction of the catecholamines.
Yeah. I remember somebody had sent us a question a long time ago.
These drugs are already drugs that enhance the production of catecholamines. That's what they do.
Right.
And catecholamines are feel-good to some extent, but if you overproduce them, they cause like a storm of, like a sympathetic nervous system storm. And so that happens in a couple of drug situations, in mood-altering drugs. You can have tyramines, or, you know, you could also, this is also a situation, you probably don't want to take tyrosine either.
Right.
Right? Because that's a building block.
Of dopamine, right.
Yeah. So that would be contraindicated when you're taking the drugs. I don't think with this product that Life Extension is making.
Yeah.
Another example of that is, let's say you're taking an SSRI. That's something that enhances serotonin.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decide, well, I'm going to really want to rev my serotonin, so I'm going to take a lot of tryptophan or 5-hydroxytryptophan.
Watch out.
That will possibly give you a condition called serotonin syndrome, which is an overabundance of serotonin, which causes flushing and uncomfortable symptoms.
And even more depressive symptoms. It's almost like you're
It doesn't feel good.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
So it's you know, you overdose on the serotonin stimulus.
Mm-hmm. We've had the same question. I remember a while back, somebody asked about rhodiola behaving like an MAO.
Some of these things have a little bit of MAO action, but not usually enough to require a dietary
tyramine
prohibition avoidance. Right?
Yeah. Interesting.
So do we have a short question? Or
We do have a short question. Let me see here. Should I be taking milk thistle on an empty stomach or with food?
Well,
with food.
What
I'd
do you think?
I would say with food.
Yeah, and why would that be?
That's typically how.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem taking it either way, but is there a preference for one way or the other?
No, that's generally the instruction with it. It's not like it's an amino acid or a probiotic where you're... Or it's recommended to take mostly on an empty stomach.
Yeah,
but
I could see a rationale for taking it on an empty stomach where there's no interfering substances. I mean, it goes to the liver probably either way.
Yeah.
I don't think that the compounds in milk thistle are broken down with digestion necessarily.
Yeah.
Because it's not a protein. Milk thistle is an alkaloid, I think, which
Silymarin.
Is probably not broken down.
If anything, to avoid queasiness, taking so many supplements on an empty stomach.
Right. Or as a tincture, sometimes it's given as a tincture. So with Silymarin, I mean, what is Silymarin? Silymarin is something that helps with hepatic detoxification.
Right. This question comes from Judy. Judy's also on Coumadin.
Okay.
Will it affect her INR? Hmm.
Well, milk thistle is associated with some drug interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like one of the reasons why... You know, it's turning into a longer question, but, you know, sometimes people go to the health food store and they say, you know, I'm taking a bunch of drugs and I want to detox my body from the drugs.
Yeah.
So they say, well, milk thistle, it's ideal. But what it will do is it will actually accelerate the degradation and breakdown of the drugs, making them less efficacious.
Mm.
Two major types of drug interactions. One is where it will enhance the drug and make the drug more
effective.
You know, where it could be dangerous, you know, and it could you could overdose on the drug. You need to take less of the drug when you're taking the herb. In this case, you may minimize the medication. So I'm looking at the interactions, and the interactions include Coumadin. They do include Coumadin. And I don't know to what extent it does that, but at the very least, you should notify your doctor that you intend to take milk thistle, because if you're taking Coumadin, you're going to get your blood checked every couple of weeks. And start with a low dose of the... milk thistle, and you know, make sure that what's happening is your proTime is not declining. It will go down. Your PT or your INR will go down, which means that your blood is becoming thicker because the Coumadin is working less to thin the blood. So the interactions they list are antipsychotic medications. Most of our patients don't have to worry about that. Phenytoin, which is Dilantin, for seizures, allergy drugs such as Allegra, drugs for high cholesterol, certain of them like Mevacor, not all of them, anti-anxiety drugs such as Xanax, Valium, and Ativan, and Plavix and Warfarin, which is Coumadin, and some cancer drugs. So, you know, that information is generally available on the internet. You just, the way I found that is just by going to milk thistle drug interactions, drug herb interactions. Mm-hmm. You can Google that and you can find a list. If you're concerned,
Or drugs.com is another.
Drugs.com, Pill Advised. Is Dr. Gallin's excellent website. He has a lot of. Plus, he also doesn't just say what's bad to combine, he also talks about what's good to combine. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very scholarly and encyclopedic. So, once again, time flies when you're having fun. We had some great questions today. We invite your questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com is where you send your questions. If you don't hear a question right away, keep listening, because eventually we'll get around to it. And thank you, Layla, for joining us. And I want to remind our listeners that for high-quality supplements, and also to subsidize these free broadcasts, please do your supplement shopping at drhoffman.com. We have great high-quality supplements at reasonable prices and great service. drhoffman.com for all your supplement needs. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
Thank you. And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.